it is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is awesome to be with you. We've prayed for this day, this hour, that God would just stir in our hearts. The Holy Spirit said he came to comfort and to convict us. And he has done both of those in my life recently. And I'm just so excited for an opportunity to share from my heart to your heart this morning. Pastor Tim and I consider it such a privilege and an honor and a responsibility. We don't take this lightly, and I stand here just humbled to be a servant of God's. Let's pray. Father, I am just, as you know, so inadequate, so unworthy, but God, I come in your sufficiency. I come in your grace. I come in your strength. I come because of your righteousness before your people, your chosen and your beloved ones today. And God, I just pray for such a stirring in our hearts that only you can do. It is not my words, but it is your power. It is your spirit that moves. And I pray that you would bring life where there needs to be life. There would be hope because of you today. There would be courage and strength that comes from you, Holy Spirit, today. Do more than I would know because I can't know everybody. But you do, and you care, and you love so immeasurably. So by your Holy Spirit now, we invite you to do a work in our hearts, to change our hearts. And thank you that you will do that and even more because you want to be glorified in this earth. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. So what I want to bring you this morning is really profoundly simple. But yet it's a word that the Lord gave me that gave me life just not so long ago. I know exactly the time, the day, the place, exactly where I was at when the Lord spoke these words to my heart. Can you remember a time you know what you were wearing? You know, there's a time when you just know a word comes from the Lord that was so powerful. And that's what I want to share with you soon. At that time, I felt like it was God's oxygen that was given to me. I was barely breathing. But when his oxygen, his life, his word came to me, I was inhaling hope, heaven, life, new breath once again. Does anybody need some oxygen? Yep. Good. We're in good company. Yeah, he's the best inhaler. He's the best. And that's what he's done most recently for me, and I want to just share that with you. Okay, now kiddos, normally I wouldn't say for you to do this. I wouldn't say that you could be self-centered, but today I'm going to let you be self-centered. Today I want you to say that this sermon was all for me. Today it was all about me, myself, and I. Okay, today you get to be very, very self-centered. So just say to your neighbor, it's all about me. Some of them are saying, well, I already knew that. Tell me something I didn't already know. But I'm not kidding. This is just for me. And you are that me. And I am that me. And it's a choice that we make today to receive. It's so easy to say, oh, that was for you. Oh, that's a nice word for you. Oh, I'm glad you. But no, today is me. This is for me. This is for me. I want you to be open. Okay, would you be open? Would you be open to hear from the Lord? Would you be really mindful? Stay focused. Stay attentive. And stay awake. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not looking at anybody right now. I'm not. I had nobody in mind. Nobody in mind. Okay. Just stay awake. Okay. You're going to have a deliberate choice to make, to receive. Again, this will set you free. If, like me, you no longer desire to have negative thoughts, check. You no longer want to remain hopeless, you don't want to remain stuck, you don't want to be stuck with guilt, despair, grief, shame, depression, anger, bitterness, resentment, worry, strife, weariness, failure, pain, sorrow, exhaustion, or even numbness, then receive today God's truth. That is not the description that Jesus said he came to give us life to have. This is not his list. His life is that we would have it to the full, in abundance, overflowing. And that was on this earth. In this world, we're going to have trials and tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. I'm for you. Okay, this is for you to come up to the level of overcoming. Satan is under our feet. We should never say, well, when someone says, how are you doing? Under the circumstances, friends, we are never under anything. We're not under our circumstances. No. Say, Cheryl, that was for me. That's for me. I needed to hear that. I am not under my circumstances. I'm above. I'm seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Amen. Romans 12, 2. And you're going to want to take some notes. I have some scriptures for you this morning to chew on. It gives hope and the way that we can be changed and transformed. Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed by renewing your mind. Think about what you're thinking about. It matters. Have your mind renewed today. Okay? We don't just have to receive every little thought that comes through our mind. Did you know that? You can kick those thoughts out. You can take them captive. As the word says, take those thoughts captive. Make them obey what Jesus says. Not what you say about you, and not what someone else says about you, but what he says about you. That's the thoughts we think about today. These words are healing. We just sung God's truth this morning. But I don't know if you have ever, like I confess I have done, I can be singing the words, but my mind be somewhere else, so it's kind of like lip service. I maybe uttered and muttered the words that I saw on the screen, but my heart was somewhere else. My mind was wandering. I just wasn't engaged. Oh, come on, anybody? It happens. It happens. So what I thought we would do is I'm going to go back and I'm going to read the lyrics, because it's really important that you get very self-centered about this message being for me, okay? So I want you to fill in the blanks. And the clue of the word you're going to say is that it's all about me. You're good, you're fast, you're quick, you're awake. So far, so good. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Even me. Gotcha. Though I forget him and I wander away, still he doth love wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus I am so glad that Jesus loves. Jesus loves. Jesus loves. I am so glad that Jesus loves. Jesus loves. You're so good. You're so good. Oh, if there's only one song that I can sing. When in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that, say with me, Jesus loves me. So there. Here's another one for you. Jesus loves, this I know, for the Bible tells so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is. Yes, Jesus loves. Oh, say it like you mean it. Yes, Jesus loves.
Me.
Yes, Jesus loves.
Me.
The Bible tells
me.
So. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on the way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Jesus loves he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Who's this sermon about? It is. It's about me. John 3:16 in the Amplified Version says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as his Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. Even when we were rotten through and through, he doesn't wait for us to get our act together. Even while and yet we were sinners, he died. He loves, he loves, he loves. Romans 8, 31 through 39. Marvelous passage, Romans 8, 31, 39. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly do for us freely? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this fazes us because of Jesus' love for us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. The NIV version says, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Get excited! If God be for us, who can be against us? There was a thought-provoking footnote that I took from Pastor Tim's Fire Bible, and I quote, and this is what it says. If anyone fails in his or her spiritual life, it will neither be from the lack of divine grace and love, nor from overwhelming force or adversity. If they fail in their spiritual life, it will be because of their neglect to remain in Christ. John 15, 5 through 6 says, speaking of the Lord, I am the vine, you are the branches. Get your life from me. Then I will live in you, and you will give out much fruit. You can do nothing without me, says the Lord. If anyone does not get his life from me, he is cut off like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. Apart from Christ, we can't do diddly squat. Amen? You can't be nice. I can't be sweet. We can't be kind. We can't be forgiving. We can't be patient. We can't be loyal. We can't be anything apart from the vine. So if you're trying without him, you're trying in vain. He says, remain in me and let my words remain in you, and you will bear the fruit of kindness and gentleness and long-suffering and patience and joy and peace. Apart from me, you can do no thing, nothing, nothing. So if you're over here trying, don't get it done. I've often heard it said, you don't just try tomorrow to run a marathon. Hello? Anybody ever just wake up and say, today, I heard there's a marathon in Portland. I'm going to try to run it. Hello? No. You train to run a marathon. You do things differently. Okay? We don't try, we train. We buffet our bodies and make it our slaves. Okay? We train in Christ. We train our thoughts. We train our reactions. We train and discipline our bodies. Amen? We train. We train ourselves. Only in Christ, and only in remaining in Jesus Christ as our Lord, can we be certain that we will not be separated. He doesn't move, but we do. He stays the same. John 15 is a fabulous chapter in the Bible. Do I say this every time? I think I say every chapter is a wonderful chapter, because it is. But this one, if you go deeper, is all about the vine and remaining in him. It's red letters. It's what Jesus said and taught. It'll give you freedom. I just challenge you to take that into a deeper study. How is it that this Heavenly Father can love all of us without measure, unconditionally, sacrificially? His love never fails. Does your love fail? Yeah. I prayed, Lord, that we, your children, would love like you love. We wouldn't love with conditions. We wouldn't love because we feel love. We would love even when we don't feel loved. We won't have prejudices with our love. We would just lavish our love like you do. Help us to love like that. As his children, that's my prayer. Speaking of children, have you guys ever heard of Valentina Vasilyev? Anybody? Valentina Vasilyev? Do you know who she was? Do you know what she was famous for, according to the Guinness Book of World Records? We almost need a drum roll for this one, Brad. Okay, Valentina is famous for giving birth to 69 children. Okay, and I'm going to quote this out of the Guinness. Here we are. The greatest officially recorded number of children born to one mother is 69. She was the wife of Fyodor Vasilyev. In the day of February 27, 1782, the list from Nikolsky Monastery came to Moscow containing the information that a peasant of the Shuya district, Fyodor Vasilyev, who was married twice, had 87 children. His first wife in 27 confinements gave birth to 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, 4 sets of quadruplets. His second wife in 8 confinements gave birth to 6 pairs of twins and 2 sets of triplets. Fyodor was 75 at the time, with 82 of his children alive. The case was reported to Moscow, which had recorded every birth. Only 2 of the children who were born in the period 1725 to 1765 failed to survive their infancies. That was 35 births, 87 children. And they went on to explain how that's all possible. The above relation, however astonishing, may be depended upon as it came directly from the English merchant at St. Petersburg to his relatives in England, who added that the peasant was to be introduced to the empress. Don't you suppose? Now, normally I would say wow, double wow. I'm going to say wow, double, triple, quadruple, wow. Wow. So I want you to imagine just for less than 2 minutes, okay, just for less than 2 minutes, that I am Valentina and I have all 69 of those children. Okay, ready? 2 minutes. That's it. Some are tall, some are short, some are neat freaks, some are kind of messy, some are musicians, some are pessimistic, some are optimistic. We've got athletes, we've got bookworms, we've got grease monkeys, we've got overachievers, we've got less motivated. We've got creative, we've got very thoughtful ones, we've got gardeners, we've got kind and loving, joyful, bold, shy, opinionated, daring, reserved, easygoing, savers, spenders, cooks, generous, night owls, early birds, and some have amazing green eyes and black curly hair just like their daddy. So which one do I love the most? Yeah. I love them all. I love them all. The neat freaks, the early birds, the pessimists. I love them all. That's my mama's heart. I love them all. And that's our Father's heart. He loves us all with all those different things that we have going on for us. Thank you, Lord. He loves us all. His love is measureless. We've sung about it. And I chose to take time deliberately to punctuate his love today. But that was not the word that gave me oxygen this week, but it may be the word that you needed just this day. His love never fails. There's nothing that can be wedged in between you and the Father's love. Absolutely, positively, no thing. But the word that the Lord spoke to me that specifically lifted up my head is what I want to share with you next. I think I probably have a kindred spirit or two. Perhaps like me, at one time, or maybe even now in your life, you truly have grieved over your own sins, over your lack of faith, over your failures, over your weaknesses, your inability to quit a habit. I have even been remorseful over my mouth and the words that I have used to hurt and wound other human beings. I have been broken in my spirit, and I have been mournful in my heart because of its condition. I have despaired, and I have even just wondered about my witness as a Christ follower because of me, O wretched soul that I am. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. But I want to tell you what the Lord did for me. When I was grieving, you know, because you just kind of sometimes just, oh, wretched person that I am. When will I get this right? He came in and he comforted out of his word to me. Matthew 5:4. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the teaching that Pastor gave on the Beatitudes not so long ago clearly unpacked that passage and the meaning in the Greek of that word mourn. To mourn is to grieve over our own weaknesses. It's to mourn over our weaknesses in relation to God's standard of righteousness and His kingdom power. It is to mourn over the things that grieve God. To have our feelings in sympathy with the feelings of God. It is to have our spirits afflicted over the sin and immorality of the cruelty that is manifested in this world. Those who mourn are comforted because they receive the Father's righteousness. We have right standing because of what Jesus did. We have peace because of Jesus, and we have joy in the Holy Spirit. He will bring that kind of comfort when we grieve and we mourn over our lost condition. I found myself in a very broken place, a very sorrowful place, just looking at my own weaknesses. And I was just disgusted. And I remember just pouring out even to my husband my feelings. And again, I know where I was. The day, the time, when his comfort rushed in like a tsunami. And he lifted my head, lifted my backbone. And he said, blessed are you that mourn over your sin. Here comes the comfort. Here it comes. And baby, life like oxygen filled me. My head went up. And God said this to my spirit. And I said it out loud. God is for me. I want you to say that today, because if you're in this room or if you're listening on the website or on a disc, this is for you today. You get to be self-centered this day. This word is for you to hear. God is for me. Okay? Would you say that with me? God
is for me.
Yeah. Now we're going to put the emphasis on each word individually. So we're going to give the big emphasis to God first. Okay, you ready? God is for me. Now we're going to emphasize is. You ready? God is for me. Now we're going to emphasize for. God is for me. All right, you better stand up. If I have to stand up, you guys just stand up. This is the one, and if you have to do a hoppity, skippity, jumpity, whatever you do when you're really excited, when your team wins the Super Bowl or whatever, get all excited because God is for
me.
Yeah. You may be seated. Some of you are falling asleep. That's why I had to make you stand up right there. Okay. So can I tell you who God is? God is the creator, the giver, and the sustainer of life. He is the one who is all-powerful, yay, all-knowing, yay, he's present everywhere. He holds the span of this universe in the span of his hand. He holds the universe in the span of his hand. According to Isaiah 66:1, the earth is his footstool. Big God. That's your daddy. By the way, I was going to get a stool and just sit here and read to you Job chapters 37 through 40, but I chose not to. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. So I want you, Job 37 through 40, you need to go read that. When Job and God were having a little conversation, and God said, Job, where were you when I determined how far the sea should go? Where were you when I fed the animals? And I see when they fall. And I see when they give birth to their young. Where were you when I created all of this? It goes on and on. And I tell you, your God is going to get so huge, so huge, when you again wrap your brain around, that's your daddy. That's the one who we can't get a wedge in between his love for us. It's not possible. That's your God. Check those scriptures out. Your God is awesome. Do you know what is means? I looked up what is means. Is means to exist, to be present. God exists for me. God is present for me. Okay, do you know what for means? For means in support of or in favor of. God is in support of. God is in favor of. Wow. Who is for you? Who is God for? Who is he in favor of? Who is he in support of? Who does he exist for? It's getting weaker. Okay. Who is he present for? God is for me. Thank you, cheerleaders. Good job. So I'm going to read this again. Hear this differently now. When you get this wrapped around your brain, Romans 8, 31 through 39 says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for? Wow. Who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of his chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for?
Me.
Who was raised to life for?
Me.
Is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for?
Me.
Hallelujah. God is sticking up for me. James 4, 6 through 10. This is how we get in a posture to receive this grace, this comfort, this strength, this assurance. This is how. But Jesus, God himself, gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and to live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty. But he continually gives the gift of grace to the humble, who turn away from self-righteousness. So, submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Okay? Come close to God with a broken and contrite heart. Broken over our sin and our heart's condition. And he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. Be miserable and grieve and weep over your sin. Let your foolish laughter be turned to mourning and your reckless joy to gloom. Humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will give you purpose. Amen. Amen. There is a posture of humility, and when we take that posture, it attracts the grace of God. Do you want to be a grace magnet? I don't see any hands.
The birthday girl, yes!
You are blessed who hunger and thirst after more of God. You want to be a grace magnet? It's the posture of humbling ourselves before an already all-wise knowing God that knows everything we're thinking and even our heart better than we do ourselves. I was just thrilled to come to this passage and think, this is where I was, Lord, and this is your truth, and I've memorized this, and I've underlined it, and I've highlighted it, and I've taught it, but I'm living it. I'm living it. Draw close to God, and he will. And how do I do that? Brokenness before him. Okay. People aren't our standards, okay? I don't want to be like this person. I don't want to be. Jesus is my standard. I want to be like Jesus. Okay? So I'm not trying to be like Mother Teresa or anybody. I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. And I want to be holy and set apart for his use. And I want to bear good fruit. Because my fruit, when I bear it, is for you. When I'm kind because of Holy Spirit, when I'm patient because of Holy Spirit, when I'm joyous because of Holy Spirit and peaceful and long-suffering and have self-control by the Holy Spirit, it benefits you. That's why I want to remain in Christ. And I was just finishing this message up, and Pastor Tim said, honey, are you using Psalms 56 by any chance in your sermon? And I said, no. And he goes, well, it really punctuates. It's a really good verse. And I said, okay, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look up Psalms 56:9. And boy, did I get excited, because it's in the Word. This is in the Word. And I read alongside of that verse, and so I'm going to give you Psalms 56:8 through 11 from the Living Bible to just, God is so good. This is the cake and the icing and the ice cream and the cherry. This is everything right now. God is giving us his truth to punctuate what he wants you and I to take away today. The psalmist says, verse 8, you have seen me tossing and turning through the night. You have collected all my tears and preserved them in your bottle. You have recorded every one in your book. The very day I call for help, the tide of battle turns. Yes. My enemies flee. This one thing I know, God is for me! Exclamation point. I am trusting God, it goes on to say. Oh, praise his promises. I'm not afraid of anything mere man can do to me. Yes, praise his promises. God is for me. I'm opening up these altars. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to invite all of us. There's not going to be teams of people waiting to greet you. There's Holy Spirit waiting to give you grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Assurance, hope, life, comfort, joy, peace. As we go before him, humble ourselves, we're sorrowful, we're broken, we're mournful. To be forgiven, to be free, to be alive once again, to be filled with hope. Let's stand. Lord, I couldn't preach without passion. Have I not lived? Had I not lived? Had I not lived? Going from lifeless to life overflowing. And this is a constant with you, because we fall down. The righteous may fall 7 times, but by your grace we get up. And we get up again and again because of your grace. And today, I know I'm not alone in this, and I know there's folks that just say, I am broken. I need your grace.
So Lord, as we just know that you're waiting for us to make that step, make that move, you will meet us where we are, and you will bring life.